Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who has piloted roughly about between 3,000 or 4,000 podcasts. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, here to talk about a wild week on Survivor. Crazy episode last night with our extended live tribal council. We're going to talk about it all today with the great T-Bird Cooper, who's going to be on with us here in just a couple of moments. Last night, broke it all down with Stephen Fishback. I had tweeted this out earlier on Wednesday night, but it's a night like this that the Survivor know-it-alls was really made for, and luckily we have the opportunity to come on right after the episode and talk about all of this craziness with you. And a lot of fun last night, as Steven and I did not exactly see things on the same page. I feel like that last night we kind of saw things on the same page, but probably the reasons that we got there we're not necessarily in sync on that. But you can watch that podcast if you missed it. And then, getting very excited, a man that I'm always on the same page with, the great Eric Stein, will be my guest on this week's feedback show. Looking forward to catching up with my ride or die, and we are going to hopefully be crushing it. So go ahead, get your feedback questions in for Eric. That is at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. You could also email the show, survivor@robhasawebsite.com, for anything you want to say on the podcast. And then Kurt Clark will be my guest on This Week in Survivor. And of course, Wiggle Room coming up on Monday. Before we get to T-Bird, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor, a new sponsor on the podcast. And if I know our audience, this one might be a hit, because if you're like me, you enjoy the occasional alcoholic beverage or two after work to celebrate with friends. You might have friends. I don't have a ton of friends, but let's be honest, once you hit the age of 25 or 30 or even beyond, even moderate responsible drinking can leave you feeling less than 100% the next day. Cheers is the solution to a universal problem, like an antacid for alcohol. Cheers is going to neutralize alcohol's negative effects so you can wake up feeling great after a night of drinking. I'll have some in my bag when we are in Philadelphia next week. Cheers after alcohol lets you enjoy a few drinks without worrying how you're going to feel tomorrow. No more headache, no more nausea or sluggishness the next day, and it's healthy for your liver too. To use Cheers, you take 2 to 4 capsules after your last alcohol beverage before you go to bed. If you don't wake up feeling at least 50% better the next day, you'll get your money back guaranteed. So to go ahead and give it a shot, check out cheershealth.com. Enter promo code Rob at checkout to get 10% off your first order and a free gift. That's at cheershealth.com. Promo code Rob for 10% off and a free gift with your first order. Cheers, the best thing to happen to alcohol since alcohol. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring in our guest for today's podcast, because she's really become one of the great regular people that we talk to every single season. And we had so much fun in our last chat, and we're getting ready to do so much more. Please welcome a woman who knows all about the pilots and the passengers from Survivor Africa and should have been on Survivor Second Chances, the great Teresa T-Bird Cooper.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be here. Also, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, would you please take your seat due to unexpected turbulence in tribal council? Please remain seated until the captain turns off the fastest seatbelt sign. Let's do this, Rob.
T-Bird, what a bumpy ride.
I know, what a bumpy ride. But I've got to be honest with you. I had to watch tribal council. I think I watched it like 10 or 15 times, because I'm like, okay, I got to talk to Rob.
Tomorrow. Did you go to bed last night?
Okay, maybe not that well. I watched it quite a few times because I was trying to figure out who's on first and who's doing this and what's happening here. So It was definitely a live tribal. Absolutely.
Yes, the livest.
Also, one more thing. I've got to let you know here. I've got my popcorn, so if it gets crunchy, you hear this? I've got my popcorn because we've got to have it for this podcast. So all you listeners, get your popcorn and let's have some fun.
Okay. All right. So why do you have popcorn? Because this is going to be so much fun.
Are you kidding me? Obviously, you forgot the great Joe Anglim, who said last night, where's the popcorn?
Oh,
when he
yes.
was watching this all go down. Where's the popcorn? And I thought to myself, good point, Joe. So I got me some popcorn here.
Yes. Okay. All right. T-Bird. So here we are back again to talk about everything from this this crazy night. But let's just do the quick catch up with you. I know that you were out at Survivor viewing parties in Atlanta. How's everything going?
It's going great. I had a great time last week. I had met out with Davey and Wendell and Sharia. And it was wonderful. It's wonderful to meet the fans. Of course, it's great to be with Survivor family always, but to be out there with the fans, I had the great, great pleasure of meeting some of your patrons,
mm-hmm.
the Browns. I got to meet the Browns. They were awesome. I did a little Instagram video of the Grams. You know, they send you more money than they do Netflix
yes.
every month.
Yes.
What? I thought that was so cool. So they were an absolute delight. So again, yeah. So many people at this point, people,
can I play the message?
People are coming
can
up
I play
to me
the
saying,
message that you sent me? This is my one of my recent
absolutely.
Texts from T-Bird.
Okay. Hey, Rob. It's T-Bird. We're at a viewing party here in Atlanta. Wendell's here and Davey's here. And I've got two fans that are fans of you that are part of your RHAP. Tell me, guys. Tell me, guys. Say it. Say it. The Browns, your patrons. Steve and Elena. Steve and Elena, the Browns, are big patrons of yours.
Worth it. That's right. We have better stuff than Netflix does.
Well, I absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
But meeting your patrons, because now, because you and I have done this a while now,
mm-hmm.
when I meet people and they come up and say, you know, I'm a patron, it's like, okay, wow. So, you know, that's like your the secret ID card to get in somewhere. I'm a patron. It's just like, okay.
You have, I don't know about
right,
that, T-Bird,
that was the right secret word.
We appreciate it. So, all right. So here we are. We're talking about the edge of extinction. And I'm very excited to hear your take. Do you have any updates from the people that follow you on Twitter? What are they thinking?
Well, I think everybody at this point, all over the place. I've got a friend of mine that actually, now this is kind of fun. I've got a friend of mine that had watched Survivor back in the early, early days and just started watching again. So for all the listeners and the viewers that just started watching last night, I kind of got to feel sorry for you, because I can imagine you'd be watching that tribal council. Because, you know, back in the day, nobody jumped up and was doing all the, you know, the talking and the, you know, trying to figure things out. So this poor gal, I don't know how she's going to figure out what's going on by jumping in. But again, this might not be the show last night if you hadn't watched it a while.
Yeah.
So
so I was wondering how my mom was holding up with this episode, because, you know, she is not always on top of everything going on with the strategy. And she says that she was at least able to follow along with what was happening.
Well, let's just say this about your mom. And my mom, the exact same way, believe it or not. But your mom's coming off a high with Joe and Sierra getting engaged. So
yes,
we've got that.
So
she's got that going for her.
She's so happy
right?
for them. Yes.
I know. She's so happy. So, and by the way, congratulations to those two beautiful people.
Yes. Okay. So big news in the Survivor world this week. Okay. So we had
yes.
this crazy.
Oh, and let me say this.
Go ahead.
So, Rob, I was just going to tell you, since you referenced your mom, I was going to reference my mom, who I watched it with last night. So it seemed like, and I don't know the exact time frame, but it seemed like 20, 25 minutes into it, they were going to tribal council. And my mama said, what? She said, why are they going to tribal council? Is it double elimination night? And I'm like, I don't know, Mom. It must be. It must be double elimination night, no reward. So who knew that the whole last half was going to be a live travel, mm-hmm. which was great. Yeah. So, like I said, I think that threw a lot of people into a tailspin. And what I'm wondering, too, is do you think they actually had a reward challenge and just left it out because they had this really good footage of the tribal council?
No, I don't think so at this point, because Jeff Probst, he does an interview every week with Dalton Ross, and he said that next week is going to be two tribal councils. So I think that what happened was this was only one day. I think that this was planned out to be that this was going to be an episode where there were two people were going to be voted out. I think that this was going to be the first part of a, you know, two boot episode. And then this one just spiraled so far out of control that they had to just make this into its own episode. So I think that next week is going to be then we'll have another like one day cycle. And the first person will be voted out, and then we'll also then have a second tribal council. So two tribal councils coming up in next week's episode, or at least two people are being voted out. I don't know what the mechanism is going to be.
Well, that's exciting. And I guess Jeff Probst, I've never seen Jeff so quiet at a tribal council.
Yeah.
They just took it and ran with it. So, yeah. It was kind of interesting and fun, too. At the very beginning, I think I remember War Dog saying to Julia, as at the, one of the opening, final seven is not going to be all of you. Well, mm-hmm. true words were never spoken to her dog. So who knows, though? Who knows? I mean, who knows? Julia might. I mean, she could easily get back in, which is why I love Edge of Extinction, because who knows what's going to happen here. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was interesting that War Dog threw that in. So,
yeah. T-Bird, you love it because you don't have to say goodbye to any of your favorites.
I love it. You know what? That is so funny. So I'm already, it's so funny that you say that because I'm already missing Wendy and Keith. But I keep, when I think about the players that are all in the game, which is everybody except Wendy and Keith, I just think of those two off at the Ponderosa, eating pizza, hamburger, they're just having a great time. I don't think they're upset that they're not still in the game. So I'm happy about that. And then I love Edge of Extinction because I'm not sure who the underdogs are at this point. Are the returnees the underdogs? Are the, I don't even know who the underdogs are, but yes, I'm absolutely loving it. And I want to make sure, since we've got so much to talk about this live tribal, that I do not forget to mention my girl Aubrey. I am nuts crazy. I'm going to try not to say love. I am nuts crazy over Aubrey. When Eric was over there, who it appears to be, I mean, he's a firefighter. He's a tough, tough guy. And when he was going through, you know, how many times, I think he said, how many times am I going to have to talk myself out of not pulling that sail? And I'm thinking, Eric, what? No. And then when he was talking about, you know, staying strong, being an example for his kids. But then, of course, they flash over to Aubrey and you know, and she goes, nah, I'll stick it out.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks like to me, Aubrey looks like to me, she's having more fun than anybody out there, either on Edge of Extinction or in the game. She's always smiling and happy. And how can you not pull for her? Because just her attitude and her never say die attitude. I'm crazy about her.
T-Bird, you would never raise the mast on the Edge of Extinction, right?
Oh, no way. As a matter of fact, I've thought about this. I've thought about when I watched Wendy and Keith go out and do it. I'm afraid if I had been out there with them and seen them going over there, even though I know we're all playing together, competing together, I really think I would have tried my best to talk them out of it and say, guys, come on, just hang in. Give it one more day and see how you feel. Only because I would hate for them to regret it later. But again, I think Wendy and Keith are happy. Happy where they mm-hmm. are. So, no, I would not, absolutely not pull that sail.
Okay. All right, T-Bird, let's talk about this tribal council that you've watched over and over and over again. So, what are your big takeaways after watching this all play out last night?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So, I don't know if this is the time to mention, but, you know, my winner pick from the very, very start has been... I'm going to try my best not to say Devin's. Hold it a minute. I'm choking on this popcorn I'm eating. I'm okay. Not kidding, Rob.
Right,
hold on.
T-Bird, spit out the popcorn.
The popcorn might have been a bad idea. Hold on.
Well, generally,
any I'm
eating.
Choking on the corn kernel.
Okay. All right.
All right. That was a bad idea. Okay. Now, I think this is the perfect time to say from the... No, I've got a huge thing of water here. Okay. So, hey, listen, this is so funny. I had another little run-in with popcorn in Africa. You know, we had some popcorn that they gave us that we could pop over the fire.
Yes.
Do you know I cracked my tooth? Mm. I cracked my tooth on one of the hard little kernels because we were so hungry. I was just eating it, and then I had to come back. I don't know if it was chicken feed.
Or maybe that I'm getting that confused with. I think that maybe that was Survivor Australia.
No, it was popcorn season. We popped them, and then I was just chewing on the hard kernels. And I broke a tooth, so when I came back, I had to get a crown on that tooth. So that's kind of my Survivor Africa story. I didn't come back with $1 million. I came back with a crown. So
tiara, yeah.
There's that. Okay, so this is a tiara.
It wasn't from Dr. Carl didn't do it, right?
This is a good time to mention. Dr. Carl didn't do it, and unfortunately for Dr. Carl, he wasn't there to fix it because he had already been voted out. Now, if Edge of Extinction had been in place when I was voted out, at day 36 and gone to Extinction Island, I think Dr. Carl would have still been there. I don't think he would have pulled the sail either. He could have done something about it, but we didn't have that back then. All right. Okay. So this is what I'm going to say. A good time to say this. My winner pick from the very, very, very beginning has been Rick Devens. Now I'm going to try my best not to say Devens like Probst does, but it's going to be hard because he's a friend. I'm going to call him Rick.
Okay.
Unless I jump in and call him Devens.
You're a CEO. So, wow. This is like the opposite. You're on first name basis with Rick.
Well, you know what? I went to the premiere. He had a little premiere party. He lives about 40 minutes from the farm here in Jackson, down in Macon, Georgia. I'm choking again on the popcorn. Hold on.
Okay. T-Bird, get it together.
And I'm not even eating. I know. Okay. I'm better now. I'm not even eating the popcorn now. So, yes, I met Rick, his wife's mother and father and stepdad, a delight. Devin's wife is adorable. And I met their son. Becca. Rick is very, very, very likable. Mm-hmm. You just like him and you don't feel threatened by him at all. So, you know, and you saw the generosity he had last night when him and David were trying to figure out about their idol. Mm-hmm. It was so sweet when Rick said, I think you need it, as far as just even protecting himself. So custody of the kid went to Rick last night. And I was so happy about that. So, you know, it's funny from the very beginning, when I first started looking at the bios, and I even told Rick at the premiere, I said, I got a feeling, I know you and David start out together. I said, I think you guys are going to be really, really work well together. So I hated to see what happened last week, but I feel like they pulled it back together this week and they're together and they're strong and I love it.
T-Bird, now is Rick Devens your local newscaster or is he in a different part of Georgia?
He's in the next a couple of counties down. So I'm in the Atlanta market by literally not very much. So, but he is not in the district that I'm in. So no, I don't get to watch him on my screen
every
day.
Could you get some sort of a bootleg cable so you could watch Rick Devens every day as your newscaster?
Oh, a bootleg cable. Well, I guess I could. I've never thought about that. So that's certainly something I can think about.
Okay.
There.
All right.
Definitely.
So, T-Bert.
But this is what I say. So, Rob, this is kind of important. So, last week when Devens was talking to David Wright at the water hole, the water well, I'm like, oh no, Rick, no. Or no, it wasn't Devens. It wasn't David. Well, it was David, but it was also War Dog.
Okay.
And then I thought when Rick did that, I was a little concerned. Okay, a lot concerned about that. Mm-hmm. But it's so funny. And when he was talking to David, the same thing, and they were looked like they were fighting over the custody of their kid there at the well. I'm like, oh, no, this shouldn't happen. See, this stuff even happens to good people fighting over the kids. So when this week, I don't think if that had happened, if Devens hadn't been voted out, put on Edge of Extinction, come back in, been a target again, I don't think we would have seen Devens doing what he did last night, which I believe was a huge, huge game changer for Devens. There I go. Probst got me calling Devens.
You could say it. Rick, I don't care.
A huge. I know, but I like him. I just feel it's more respectful to say Rick. Okay, Devins. So I think this was Rick a huge Devins, game like changer for Rick. Rick Devins. Okay. I think it was a huge game changer for Rick, because if some people think that if you're voted out and you go to Edge of Extinction, you were voted out, you shouldn't win. I don't feel that way. I feel like the game is played from day one to day 36. However you get there, you get there. And if it means you're voted out, you come back in. That, to me, almost gives you more of a resume, if you will, which people like to talk about that when you get to the very end. So if all this stuff hadn't happened to Rick these last few episodes, I don't think he would have done what he did last night that turned the game upside down. That's going to give him a lot of power at the end when he's talking to the jury. So I still am going to go with Rick as my winner choice to win.
Okay. Well,
there we go.
He was the star of that tribal council last night, after he was the one who really turned things on their head last night. And so, T-Bird, I just want to start off with talking about, as somebody who came out of really old school Survivor, in a way, do you feel like was this almost unrecognizable to the game that you were a part of all those years ago?
Yeah, it's so different in so many ways. I mean, this one's different in so many ways that you can get out of the game and come back in. But we didn't have, you know, back in season three, the idols, we didn't have any of that stuff. Hey, we didn't even have water to go get fish or to do anything. So, because it was in Africa. So for me, the gameplay from every season since has really been 360 degree turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just think, you know, people say, God, how would you like to play now with immunity idols? And I would absolutely love it. Just being able. Excuse me, Rob. Honey, bring me some more water. Okay, I'm back. I'm back. My poor husband. God love him. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I would love to be able, and even in Africa, we were in a boma, so we couldn't even get out to talk about, you know, our strategy or what we were going to do. But, hey, the game again has come full circle. I guess you don't need to get away from people. You just go to tribal council and talk about it. Just jump up and down. And Rob, a little bit of concern. I loved the spontaneity of how it was last night at tribal council. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that, Rob, I kind of worry about the future of tribal councils with people watching it, because are we going to continue to see this type of behavior from the passengers on these flights? Because I think it's a little bit much. I think there's got to be a little something.
Yeah.
Or it's going to change the people's strategy. And I don't know that I want to see it like
well,
that.
Well, this is, I think, is, you know, a good question and a fair point to bring up, because this is the kind of stuff that we were talking about back when Malcolm got voted out a couple of years ago, where this was exciting, but, you know, at what cost? Where I at one point said, maybe do we need seatbelts at the tribal council, where you sit down, you strap in? Because I am wondering, because last night was a great example of this. We saw no talking at camp, but then all of the strategizing ended up taking place at tribal council, which was fun. But if that turns into the show where people sit around all day, don't say anything to anybody, and then all of the strategizing happens like in the last, you know, 2 minutes before they actually vote, I'm not sure that that's necessarily good for the show.
No, I don't think it is. Although, I mean, it was so awkward and entertaining in a really awkward way to watch the, I got a feeling it seemed like when they were having their last meal, mm-hmm. if you will. And it was like dead silence and just the expression, and Kelly Wentworth's expressions throughout this whole time she's been out there have been priceless. And by the way, I love Wentworth too. How can you not like her?
Mm-hmm.
So I like her a lot. I mean, she's hanging in and she's feeling the stress of all this, but she's still hanging in there.
Would you say you're her nuts to crazy describe, for Kelly Wentworth?
I love her. Oh gosh, there goes. Yeah, I can't help it. I like her a lot. I like her a lot.
That's crazy.
Like
Aubrey. That's crazy more or less than like.
Good. Oh, no, no. It's love, but I told you I was going to come off the love okay. a little bit. I love Aubrey. I love Wentworth. I love these returning players, Joe and David. However, with that being said, the other players, too, are right up there with them. That's why, you know, it's fun to be able to watch all these characters and their character materialize. And that's what Edge of Extinction's done. For all these people that are voted out so early that have all these magnetic, wonderful personalities, like, look at Chris. Poor Chris. I mean, look at what he's doing over there on Edge of Extinction when he pulled the big stingray out.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of brought them all back together and the excitement.
You were impressed.
And being
T-Bird.
Able to see that, I loved it. So their Thanksgiving meal was very happy and fun. And then you cut back over to the last meal over here at the campsite where, you know, they're just sitting there basically looking at each other with a very awkward silence. And, you know, Kelly is saying that, you know, Aurora's sleeping. Gavin won't even look at her. Julia's giving her these all these awkward signs. And then, of course, Victoria on cleanup patrol with the cleanup here in the pot, doing the cleanup. All that was fantastic, especially what a great segue right into Tribal Council. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And Dalton Ross wrote about this today, how great that scene was. But to me, I just feel like that was a great encapsulation of what it's like to be out there.
Yeah, I think as a former player, and Rob, you know, I think you'll probably relate to this as well. The stress of this game, the emotional stress of this game is terrible. It is absolutely terrible. So when people say, you know, how was it to play with no food, no showers, no hygiene products, no toothbrush, deodorant, I'm like, all of that was so secondary, all of it. No food. And we even had to walk for our water. The water was so bad, but all of it was secondary.
Mm-hmm.
The worst, most difficult part of Survivor is the psychological part. It is, and you saw what happened to Julie last night, how she started cracking a little bit under the pressure of just, I don't want to say she's paranoid because, well, she is. We all are paranoid out there, as you should be, because you really don't know. You want to reach out, you want to trust, but you can't. And it's very difficult to be pulled away from everything. And she referenced being away from her family and wanted to get back. But the psychological part of this game is so difficult. And you can see it, especially you could see it early on with Kelly and with David and with the people that are on the bottom that people are targeting. Now, the Kama Tribe, you know, it's kind of when you think back at the first few episodes of the Kama Tribe and Ron and the whole group doing the happy dance, they were happy, 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 happy dance. And now come back to this episode last night and you see the stress mm-hmm. on Ron's face because he is under a lot of stress. And look what it's doing to Aurora when she's sleeping. And I think Aurora is sleeping. It's the stress of the game, I think, pulling her down, because Aurora is a very vibrant, vibrant person, very smart person. And do you see the toll it's taking on her? Mm-hmm. So I think if nothing else, people that viewers that have not played or can't imagine what it would be like, the psychological part is absolutely terrible. And even for me in Africa, I was, of course, on the bottom. And the way we were treated, it's like I said, it's just psychologically pulls you down in a big, big mm-hmm. way.
Yeah. Going back to what you're talking about with the people that were sleeping, the people that were not looking at Kelly Wentworth, I thought that was such a great job by Kelly to sort of like pick up on all of the cues of what was happening with the people in the tribe, where even though that they were telling her what she wanted to hear, that these actions of the other players really spoke louder than words. And that as a person who has now played the game three times, you really, I think, got to see the divide of what it means to have played so much versus people that are playing for their first time, especially these Kama people who have only been to a couple tribal councils.
That's right. And the Kama people haven't had to be paranoid, where Kelly Wentworth has been paranoid since the start of this game, knowing she's coming in as a, a, a third time player, but I still,
I mean, that's kind of her default setting.
That's right. It absolutely is her default setting. But also, even though, and look, she's so smart as far as, like you said, reading the cues and paying attention to everything. And I noticed, by the way, Aubrey was doing that too over on the jury when the jury was cutting up, laughing. Aubrey was, when I watched it back, she was real listening real hard and trying to figure out, it looked like, you know, how the social cues from the ones that were still in the game, because she's always playing the game. And with Kelly, even Kelly giving Aurora and Julia and Gavin a second chance at tribal council, when everybody jumped up and started talking about what they were doing, Kelly still said, "I don't want to leave y'all. Is everything the same?" So you got to hand it to her, because she was trying to stick with the loyalty, even though they were after her. Clearly, they were after her. So, you know, yeah, Kelly's really sharp. And to think that she's been basically a threat every week, she still has her idol. She's not played it. And I know some people may say, well, that's not necessarily a smart thing. Well, she's still got the idol and she's still in the game. So it worked out that it has been a smart thing. She's keen and she's smart, even though she's, you know, you can tell she's under a lot of stress with the way things are playing out.
Okay.
Oh, another thing I was going to say about her and Lauren. From the very beginning, I thought Rick and David would have a great relationship. I got to tell you, I thought that Kelly and Lauren would not be on each other's side. I thought they might be so similar that they might not be work, that they might not work together. But it looks like, from what I see on their Twitter and things that they are saying about each other, they are great friends. And I love to see that. Lauren's a strong character too, although we didn't see her much at all last night. Mm-hmm. But she's quite a contender too. And they're tough women. All the women out there are tough.
Okay.
Every one of them.
T-Bird, I want to go back to that tribal council, though. I want to know, what did the comma people do wrong in your mind last night?
I think what the comma people did wrong was they didn't have a really set plan, or I think they're so used to being kind of cocky that they didn't realize that they weren't making everybody else around them feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. The Lesu weren't feeling comfortable. David and Rick weren't feeling comfortable. And then all of a sudden, Kelly wasn't feeling comfortable. So there goes Rick to turn it upside down. So I think, you know, again, I think comma, especially Gavin, Julia, and Victoria. By the way, in last week, I thought they did. I know this is kind of big things people have talked about. I thought they made that move last week too early, mm-hmm, because things were going so well. And this is before last night happened.
Yeah.
Before last night happened, I thought, God, they could at least get one or two more votes, mm-hmm, at least before breaking up. So I thought that was especially, I mean, they were all sitting so pretty. But once again, trying to build a resume, I think that was a little too soon, as we've seen now. But then I think, again, you know, Julia, who I think is a smart girl, I think her trying to make Kelly feel so comfortable obviously made everybody else feel uncomfortable. And then for whatever reason, I'm not sure, I guess the stress of the game took over with Julia, and she started making those comments to Rick. And then that slipped when she said to War Dog. And once she said that to War Dog, I'm like, as soon as she said it, I'm like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it seems like, when everybody pretty much decided to jump ship, because everybody jumped ship except for Aurora. Aurora was still being true to the numbers there.
Mm-hmm.
So
what did Julia do wrong specifically? And if people are throwing out Aurora's name, should she have been one of the people piling on? Yes, Aurora. Thank you, War Dog.
Honestly, I really don't know why they were mentioning Aurora's name.
But who cares? Who cares? If it's like, I kind of feel like that when things are going sideways like this, maybe you should just be like we saw Victoria do, where she's like in the huddle, like, hey, like, I'm with you guys.
Oh yeah, Victoria, savvy player. Yes, she jumped up and went over there. That's why I don't understand why Aurora didn't do something. I wasn't sure why they were targeting her, but then I wasn't sure at all why she wasn't doing anything to say anything. And Julia wasn't saying much of anything either. But I think by then, the comments that Julia had made to Rick and then to War Dog and then to Kelly, not making Kelly feel like the plan was the way they had discussed earlier, I think all that was Julia's demise. And then once they pulled Julia, I guess, you know, Gavin and Victoria said, hey, you know, we got to go with this. Now, I'm still don't understand why they didn't bring Aurora into that. I guess because she was kind of off to the side. I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is from Aurora that she's not keen last night on soccer moms.
Yes.
That's all okay. I know.
T-Bird, do you consider yourself a soccer mom?
Oh, gosh. Oh, Rob. Well, I guess I'll answer that by when I heard Aurora say that, I tweeted to Aurora, hey, can you, you know, I know this might be a bad time to ask, but could we get another chance? Mm-hmm. So I guess that would be a yes.
Yeah,
I guess that would be a yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess that's a yes. That's a yes.
All right.
Would you consider Reem? Okay, let's bring Reem into this. Would you consider Reem a soccer mom? Mm,
dude.
She's the mom. You know, she's.
Yeah. I think she probably
is. I think so. Mm-hmm. How can you not love Reem? And that's another thing. You know, she's over there and she's not going anywhere. And who would have thought from the very beginning, if we had talked about this and said, you know, Reem, her first 3 days looked rough. Mm-hmm. She had a rough time. And there she is. She's still there. Kudos to Reem.
Yes. Yes. Kudos to Reem. I want to stay with this tribal council and how it all ended up playing out. So when you were watching this over and over again, what were some of the things that really caught your attention?
Well, I noticed that I noticed more what was being said than what wasn't being said. But as we talk about it, you know, how Victoria got up and kind of jumped in there. I noticed how Rick took charge and turned everything upside down, which again, I think is going to help him in the very end. I'll tell you what I noticed more than anything. I noticed there were more one-liners last night than I think I've ever heard that were priceless.
Yes.
From everybody. How about that? One line. Okay. Here we go. So I'll try to think of a couple of one-liners and you try to remember and tell me who said them.
Okay.
How about that? Okay. All right. Let's see. One-liner. Somebody said this to Probst, one of the players. I was on the wrong side of the blind side.
I don't know. Who did say that? Aurora?
Nope.
Who?
Julie said that to Probst.
Yeah.
Julie said that. All right, here's another one-liner. This is going to be easy. You're such a passenger, Rick.
Oh, Julia said that.
Julia said, that's right. All right, here's another one. Who said this? I'm in the pilot seat. I'm trying to drive.
Rick Devin said that.
That's right. Rick Devin said that. Okay, who said this? Hey, you asked for the one-liners. Here they go. Who said this? You're spilling the beans.
Julia said that to Aurora.
That's right.
I feel like I'm on with Jordan Kalish.
Okay. That's good. All right. Who said this? I've seen the looks. I've seen the looks.
Was that Julie again?
That's right. That was Julie. All right. You want to do a couple more? Let's do a couple more. Who said, let's vote?
Jeff Probst. I think that was it War Dog?
Let's vote. That's right.
War
All
Dog.
Right, then how about this? After let's vote, shut up, War Dog.
That was Julia again.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Probably listen. How about one
yes.
more? One more. Oh my God. She lost her damn mind.
Oh my God. She lost her damn mind.
yeah.
Was that coming from the jury?
Nope.
Who said that?
Victoria.
Yes.
Said it about Julie.
You know, I do think that that's interesting. What? You know, Julia ends up being the one who's voted out, and she ends up also being the person who was the most like, oh, Rick, you're such a passenger. Shut up, war dog. Oh, Rick, there's just a bunch of plans that you're being left out of. I wonder if that type of situation comes up again on Survivor. Should you be more of the Victoria and be going along with, you know, whatever is happening, then you're also on board? Because well, I think because just in terms of this is my experience as a dad. I know the more I say, hey, I don't want that. Like, do not do this. Do not touch that. Hey, shut up, war dog. I don't say that to my kids. But there's a sense of like that. You're like, no, not that. Anything but that. Hey, no, that's a terrible idea. I feel like that people feel like, ooh, this I struck a nerve here. Like when T-Bird had a cracked tooth from the popcorn.
Well, I think there comes a time when you got to save yourself. You got to save yourself. And by the way, you might have understood that very last one liner about, oh my God, she lost her damn mind, was Victoria saying that about Julie, not to Julia. Okay, I wasn't sure because of the Julie and the
Wait,
Julia.
Wait, so now you confused me. She said it about Julie together. Or she said it about Julia?
Julie.
Okay, yes.
When Julie jumped up and she was saying, I'm jumping ship, I'm getting, you know, that's when Victoria said it, but then she was over there trying to, you know.
And I just want to clarify that, not so much from the emotional outburst, but from that it looked like the comma people were going to vote with Julie and Ron. So Julie kind of inadvertently blew up the comma six. Now, maybe this is going to be a better path for her to be working with like a bigger group of people. But it looked like that the comma group was going to come back together for a vote. And then they ended up blowing up.
I thought they were going to come back together. 100%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, you were asking about the best position to try to be in. And I guess looking back at Sandra's gameplay, who's the only, of course, person to win Survivor twice.
Mm-hmm.
What does Sandra say? Just, you know, she'll just follow the vote. What's her big hashtag line, which is how she's kind of
playing? Anybody but me.
Anybody but me. So, you know, I thought about that because for me, I'm a loyal person and I played a loyal game. Now, you know, the way it's played now, but the way it's, you know, you almost have to go into it like a Sandra, you know, mentality, anybody but me. So it kind of makes it interesting as far as, you know, it's nice to see when you see Lauren and Kelly staying true to each other, David and Rick staying true to each other. It looks like Ron and Julie possibly staying true to each other because you don't see that. And War Dog and Kelly and Lauren staying true to each other. It's I like to see that. I think the viewers like to see that because you want to feel that these people have some kind of bond and that it's not just to get to the end of the game and win $1 million at all cost. I mean, so it's nice to see these relationships that are built and that stay through the game.
Now, T-Bird, there was a lot of talk about which tribe is more dysfunctional. Is it the Kama tribe or is it the Lesu tribe, which used to be the Manu tribe, but now they only are called the Lesu tribe? So, T-Bird, once upon a time, you were part of a very dysfunctional tribe. Am I correct with that?
Yeah, it was real dysfunctional. It was really bad. It was a bad situation. Very stressful.
Maybe the most dysfunctional tribe I think Survivor had ever seen. The Samburu tribe.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. But it didn't have to. The thing about it is it didn't have to be that way. It started out from the very beginning, a split between the younger players and the more mature players. And it just split. And it shouldn't have happened. It didn't need to happen because at that point, when you're working together, this was before the day when the tribes were, you know, mixed up and all that until ours got mixed up. But you know, the seasons prior, you never saw that. So my thinking was always you stay strong, strong, strong until the merge, and then you figure out your next game plan. But you certainly don't divide your tribe from the beginning when there's no need for it. But again, that's that power when people, and it's interesting, the power, when you have a little bit of power, how some people's personality totally changes from when they're on the bottom or have no power. And that's what happened to the young people in Africa. And that may be a little bit of what we saw last night with Julia. Maybe more with Julia than Gavin and Victoria. Just a little bit of power. And you cannot at all think you've ever got this game wrapped up. Not at day one and not at till you actually are hearing your name read by Probst at the finale, because things change every single minute. And I have to reference back to something that Julie said when she was so upset, when she was talking to, I think it was David, Rick, and Ron, something that she said that Aubrey had said. She said, sometimes the game is, let's see, the game is so strategic, but the game is played in 3-day chunks, 3-hour chunks, and 3-minute chunks. Mm-hmm. And that's the mindset you have to have when you go out there, even especially now. You have to roll with each change that happens, or you're going to be left out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, it's really changed a lot since season 3, you know, up to now with season, you know, 38.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. T-Bird, just to talk about the problem with these dysfunctional tribes, and we saw with Kama tried to get back together last night, and they were not able to stay on the same page, and we've seen Lesu talk about getting back on the same page. There was a point where your dysfunctional tribe was going to potentially get back together for a vote. And tell me if I have anything wrong, but when it came down to that, there was an opportunity, a similar point in the game when there was 9 people left to maybe go ahead and take a shot at Lex after he was very riled up about who made the vote for him. We know it was you, right?
Right.
It was you.
Yep. Right.
And Samburu could have come back together, this dysfunctional tribe. But what happened? Brandon didn't want to ever vote with Frank again, right?
No, I think he would have. But what happens is once you create that mistrust, or once you create that you're jumping around, and this is a perfect analogy with what Rick Devins did. I said his whole name. What Rick did last night. Once you don't have that trust anymore, you can't really get that back. And I'd already lost trust with Brandon, and Brandon had already been in with Lex. So I still feel like, you know, if I had told anybody at that time what my plan was, I would have been gone, because Brandon was going to Lex and feeding him stuff, trying to get in with
them.
What
a passenger.
So, what a passenger. So even, it's funny, I didn't even know. I'm always amazed when people tell people, sometimes you just kind of keep things to yourself and mix it up. And the same thing with the idols. And I've really been impressed with that people holding close to their idols and not telling each other about them, because I always was confused during the past seasons why anybody would ever let that out of the bag. Mm-hmm. So I see they're keeping that kind of close to the cuff now, but again, you saw Rick, and now I didn't do what Rick did and would not have done what Rick did. However, with that being said, it worked out for him beautifully last night, because he turned tribal council upside down. And even Julie did the same thing, showing your emotions when you get a vote. You can see what happened to Lex because of how he reacted once he got that vote. Mm-hmm. His whole game changed, because I think Lex was pretty much on target to win. But once he showed that side of him, I think it brought kind of an awareness. You kind of can't take this stuff personal. You got to kind of carry on each day without taking it personal and just figure out your next strategy or your next plan of attack. right. without taking it too personal.
No, that's a really good point, because Julie has played this game from the front the whole way, where she was right. in the big alliance at Comma, and then they came into the merge, and she was calling the shots, and Kelly Wentworth wanted to do something, and she's like, no, we're not doing Kelly Wentworth's plan, we're doing my plan, and we're going ahead in Comma, we're doing great. And then all of a sudden, you know, 23 days in, you have the rug pulled out from under you, and now all of a sudden you went from, you were at the top for 20 some odd days, now you're at the bottom, and now you still have to keep your composure during this time when you're at the bottom, too. You can't just spin out of control.
And unfortunately, she did. I think, though, like I said, the emotional part of the game and her being exhausted and hungry and just everything that takes over when you're out there, all that had, I think, a part in her just kind of doing a, you know, breaking down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But from what I looks like I saw from last week, I mean, excuse me, from this week that's coming up, she looks like she's gained her composure and she's back.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't want to say that there's anything wrong with, you know, having emotional moments on Survivor, but you just need to be able to ride out the storm if you want to ultimately be successful in winning the game. You could let it get the best of you.
Yeah. Right. And I've got a friend of mine that's just finished her audition tape to send in. And we were talking about, and I think she's a young girl. She looks got a lot going for her. But she said, I know what would happen, though. If I got a vote, I'd cry. I'd go off and I'd cry. And I'm like, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't show your weakness like that. You just have
to. What if she goes off and cries by herself?
Well, then we did talk about that. Mm-hmm. We did talk about that. So, yes. But you just you have to put it in perspective. You go off and cry by yourself?
By myself, where nobody can see me.
Okay. Then that's okay to do that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Definitely. Oh, hey, listen. Don't let me forget this. Wasn't a great, great moment last night? Because I've been confused with this from the very beginning. Maybe you can set this right for me. I thought that David and Kelly would be buddies mm-hmm. from the start. And they never were. I never understood that at all. And it was just absolutely priceless last night when Kelly turned around to David. And what did she say? He said,
yeah. And then
I love that.
Going back and forth on like, what was the plan tonight? Come on, tell me. She's like, all right, it was you. We were voting you out. Like, oh, come on, Kelly. I know.
But you. Then when it was, they're cute.
Were you going to vote me out again?
It was just cute.
Yes. I loved
it. And that little exchange between them was great. I loved it. And I'd like to see them pull together. I like them both so much. So I'm hoping that they'll pull together.
Yeah, we'll see. It should be a fun stretch run of this to see if these two people can go on and ever work together or if they just keep going after each other the whole game. Teeper, I've got a lot of questions for you from the listeners that I want to get into. We still have a lot to get through, but let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors here today on the podcast. And T-Bird, those are the people who make the new dating app Ship. Now, T-Bird, do you know what this is?
Okay, yeah.
You do?
The dating app Ship. No, okay. I do not know exactly what it's about, but go ahead, because I've got a little story. Right, so
tell me all about this, because what Ship does is that everybody knows about these dating apps, right? Swipe left, swipe right. You know about that stuff, right?
Swipe left.
You know what
right,
it is?
Right. Yes.
Okay. Swipe
left, swipe right. Turn your phone
right.
on.
Yep. So what Ship does is allows people who are looking for love to bring in people that they get advice from, their confidants who may or may not also be in relationships, to join their crew. And then the crew is able to look at pictures too and say yes, no, swipe right, swipe left. And then you are able to have a real think tank together with you out there. So you're not all alone. The people that know you the best can be giving you insight in your crew, there's a group chat, and then you and then all of your friends and closest confidants could be taking a look at the people who could be your prospective dates, because you don't want to meet somebody and then it's like, no, we all hate this person. What were you thinking, you idiot? Right?
I love it. It's fantastic. Who knows you better than your family and friends?
That's right.
So that's perfect. Right.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's called Ship. And speaking about with Survivor, jumping ship. So your family and friends can say, you need to jump ship. This one is not right for you. I love it. It's ship. Perfect.
Yes. And I'm
jump
even
on
in,
ship. Yes, jump on ship.
T-Bra, I'm even in Adam Klein's crew, and I can go through and see if there's anybody that's right for Adam Klein. I'm very picky about who's going to get to date Adam. I'm the gatekeeper.
Well, hey, I got a question here. Are you kidding me right now? Adam
no.
Klein has... I would think they'd be just lined up at his door.
No, but he's busy. He's a busy guy.
I'm just saying.
Hard to meet people.
All right.
Dating is more fun when you do it with friends. Download Ship for free at getshipped.com/RHAP. That's GETSHIPPED.com/RHAP. That's getshipped.com/RHAP and start today.
So what I want to say about that is, Rob, get on the ship. Don't miss the boat.
Don't miss the boat.
Perfect.
Okay. That's perfect, T-Bird.
Don't miss the boat. Get on the ship.
Yes. Okay. All right. So, T-Bird, I've got a lot of questions for you from the listeners. Of course, everybody loves to hear from you on the podcast. Let me ask you a question. Jennifer Jones wants to know, what would Extinction Island, the edge of extinction, look like on your season? Could you imagine that, T-Bird?
Well, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of the very first ones that got voted out. And again, I love Edge of Extinction because, you know, the first group of people that got voted out were people from the other tribe that I mm-hmm. never got to know or spend much any time with, because fortunately for me, I made it way into the game. Unfortunately for them, they didn't. So they were gone and I really had no more contact with them. So I would have gotten to know the other tribe. Definitely.
And you would like that.
That's how. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, when you go through an adventure like this with 18 other people, again, it would be nice to get to know them. Now, did I want to get to know them on Edge of Extinction like that? No, I'd rather get to know them during the game. But if it didn't work out that way, and at least you get to spend more time and have a shot at getting back in the game, then be fantastic.
Okay. T-Bird, did you ever get to know the first boot from your season?
The first boot from my season is Lady Di. We call her Lady Diane. It's Diane, but we call her Lady Di. So I didn't spend any time with her. I actually remember seeing her at the interview process. And I remember looking at her. I mean, there was no conversation. There was nothing because there was a lot of other people there. I remember when I saw her, I'm like, oh, dear Lord, she's going to hurt me, because she just looked like she was just really a tough woman, lady, which of course she is. But I did get to know her once, you know, the season was over. She's a wonderful, wonderful lady.
Okay.
So that was a good question, Jennifer. Thank you for that.
Yes. T-Bird, we know that you are working on some big things behind the scenes at Rob is a Podcast. Are you ready for some Tuesday with T-Bird action?
I can't wait. Are you ready for some T-Bird on Tuesday action?
Yes.
That's the question.
All right. Let's.
You didn't answer. You didn't answer the question.
Yes, affirmative.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I am ready.
All right, just make sure.
I am ready. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Good. It's going to be fun.
The Tuesday with T-Bird hotline. Thursday, technically.
But okay.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Diane?
Well, of course it is.
as I like to say, is this Lady Di?
Yes, that too.
All right. Diane, how are
hey,
you?
Hey, Linda.
This is Rob Cesternino, and I have the great T-Bird Cooper here with us, and we wanted to reach out and say hi to you today.
Hi. Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm...
Lady Duck, thank you for taking your time with us. Thanks for taking your time to talk with us today, because I know a lot of people want to hear from you, especially with the new season, this Edge of Extinction. So, Lady Di, would it be okay for me just to give a little brief synopsis here? Would it be okay for me to say that you
Darling,
are one
you
of the 18...
Right, you go right ahead.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
permission
perfect.
Granted.
So...
Okay.
So Lady Di was one of the 18 characters that played on season 3 of Survivor Africa.
Oh, there was 16.
So the
no, great, 16.
Were there 16?
It was 16.
Oh, good T-Bird. Lordy. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Help. Thank you, Lady Di. That's why we have you here to get me corrected. All right. So the wonderful thing is, Lady Di, we know how hard it was to be cast to get on Survivor, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
We also know.
Yeah.
We also
Back
know.
Then it was way
we
different.
Made the cast. Yeah, way different. But we also know, unfortunately, somebody has to be the first one voted out.
Yeah.
It unfortunately for season of Africa, it was you. But if your tribe had not have gone, if y'all had not have gone to tribal council, it would have probably been me on the other side. So I don't know if that makes you feel any better or not.
No, you would have made it past first vote, I'm sure.
All right. So, but the most interesting thing we want to ask you about, Lady Di, was are you watching Edge of Extinction?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you watch last night?
Yes. Twice.
Okay, good.
Because
oh, there you go.
Was insane.
It was insane.
It was insane, and like, why didn't we do that back in season 3?
I know
that
it.
That would have been awesome, you know? And
I know
say,
it.
Well, you
we
know,
didn't
Clarence,
know we could get up.
Go,
we
were... I'll get my strength back. Just feed me and give me some water, you know? And not beans, but, you know,
okay.
I think that would have done a little bit better if that had happened.
So, Lady Di, so what, if you had walked, if when Jeff put out your torch and you walked down the walkway, if you had seen the sign that said, go right if you want your adventure to end, or pick up the torch, go left, get on the boat if you want to resume the adventure and stay on, what would you have done?
I would have gone, back in the day, I would have gone left. I would have taken the torch, and of course we had no water, and hopefully no lion was waiting there for me. But I would have, you know,
right.
Well, real, you know. So I'd have taken the torch, and I would have stayed.
Do you think you would have stayed the whole time? The whole time, even the first 3 days by yourself, like Reem did?
Yeah, because I was pretty cocky back then. You know, I mean, and when I was younger, and I'm like, you know what? Good, I'm away from everybody, and I can collect my thoughts and you know, just reevaluate. That's probably what I would have done, and you know, that would have been okay with me to be by myself, just to kind of gather my bearings again.
And Rob, isn't that interesting? An interesting spin that Lady Di puts on it. That you can leave the gate just to get away and regroup.
Recenter.
I mean, that's a really that's a really good point. So, Lady Di, do you see similarities? You know, you're a mom. You have two children, a son and a daughter. And do you see similarities between you and Reem? That was the first one, you know, sent to Edge of Extinction.
Yes, I do. And I actually liked her. You know, and I'm glad that. You know, whenever she picked that up and she marched that way, I'm like, yeah, I'd have been that way. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, since I spent most of my time, you know, with my kids, you know, raising it without a significant other, so to speak, you know, I'm very independent and I'm very aggressive. And I think though those are good qualities, and sometimes we don't come off exactly the way that, you know, it's like, you know, people, you know, think people should, you know, but it's like, that's just how we are. I don't know anything about Reem, you know, what her, like, if she's married or not or whatever, but I know what I like things my way. And usually my way is the correct way that I've found in my life. And
right.
But then I can see me stepping back and like, well, maybe I was kind of a jackass, you know, sometimes, or, you know, or this. But yeah, I think that I would have gone to the left at that time, at that point in time. Now, I don't know. That'd be a tough call because the game's changed so much, you know. And it's...
But, Lady Dot, you still have that adventurous side to you. I feel like for sure you would definitely go left.
Oh, good.
I see similarities between you and Reem, just us talking. It's really interesting because she has... You know, I think you have people that would never have gotten to know her if she hadn't been out there. So, you know, I see, like I said, she's got that side that's a little bit rough, the way she, you know, delivers things, but you can tell she's got a really big heart and she's determined to stay out there, and you're that way.
I've had to be that way. And that's just part of who I am, I guess. So I can relate to Reem, and it's just an inner strength and strong type of. And yeah, we may be a little rough around the edges, though. Big deal, you know. It's like people can't understand that, you know. Then they just need to, you know, shut the. You know,
just giving you your strength.
You know, oops,
right.
Almost said it, but I didn't. Got myself.
There you go. Hey, hey, Lady Di, what do you think about somebody that's on edge of extinction coming back and winning the game? Would you be for that or against that? If you were still in the game the whole time, and somebody came back and won, that had been. Okay. So you like that.
Because,
you like,
you know,
that twist.
Yeah, it's grown on me, you know, because didn't they have another one similar to that?
Redemption Island.
Yes. And I forget, did that person didn't win, did they?
No, they did. The person that came back didn't win the game. So Diane, what if Reem came back and won the whole game?
Awesome. That would be totally cool. I don't know if, you know, she has a chance, you know, she has a chance. She's back in, you know, I don't know how the other people that are playing on the game and not on extinction would feel about that, but you never know. I mean, there's always hope.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I like her, you know, I do like her. I think she's very strong, very determined. I like that, those qualities, you know, and she's a fighter. So also.
Yeah.
A quality.
Absolutely.
That I like,
so,
you know,
so, like,
because we have to fight for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Women like, you know, I'm not trying to label any like women like us, but I've, you know, I have fought all the time, and you know, all in life, and I think that's a good quality. And so yeah, so what? We're, you know, a little, you know, rough, but big deal. You know, it's like, get over it. You know, everybody just has to get over it. And, you know, I'm not always like that, but, and I'm sure she's not either.
Well,
but yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Diane, let me just ask you. So, if, you know, in a future season, you know, we see characters, like yourself or like a Reem play, how should they approach the beginning of the game differently?
Shut up, you know, keep quiet.
Yeah.
You know, until you get to know people. And I get frustrated when I see something, you know, that should be done, and I'm going to just do it and maybe not ask somebody, try to hold that back a bit, you know. And I know it's not our nature to do that, but I would probably have been a little less, you know, quiet and not as, you know, I didn't try to get to know people because I like to watch people first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I my first impressions of people is how I kind of base my, and I'm usually correct, you know, I don't know.
I got to say this right now.
Okay.
Lady Di, I've known you for how many years? 19 years. I could tell you right now, you would not have gotten quiet.
What?
I said you would not have gotten quiet because I know you would have built your stamina. You would have built your stamina and strength, and you would have come out swinging.
Yeah.
I know that about you, girl. 1,000,000,000,000,000%.
If I got the boot and it was in a situation like that, I'm sure revenge would drive me. And, you know,
oh, gosh, you know it.
It would
Lady
Di,
really I know it
sweet.
Would. Yes, see, there I go. Rob, there's the Lady Di I know and love right there.
There you go.
Island.
Well,
so,
yeah. What?
Should they call it Spite Island?
Should it have been on an island?
Spite Island. Should they call it Spite Island?
Oh,
spite everybody.
Spite Island. Yeah. Ooh, I think Revenge Island has
Revenge
a little bit
Island.
Better.
There we go.
Yeah, Revenge Island would be kind of cool because then you could, you know, have stuff there on the island that they have to do, and you can get back
dolls
at the
out
people.
There. Yeah,
yeah.
Lady Di, it's so funny because a lot of times once people play and they talk about, people ask, if you played again, would you do anything differently? And people will say and start out saying just what you did. Well, I wouldn't do this. But you get out there and you're just going to be who you are. You can't help it. That's just how most people are. So it's so cute. It's so cute that you said that. Now, you got to tell us, who are you pulling to win this season? Who's your winner pick?
Joe, my friend. I love him.
Joe's your friend?
Yes. He actually texted me today about my arts, you know, because we talk arts.
Oh, well, I know. I see in the Survivor Facebook group all of your art. I didn't know that you and Joe are both, as artists, have a friendship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like Joe a lot. I love him. You know, he's a great guy. And we'll share each other, you know, he'll send me a picture, I'll send him a picture, and I just sent him the hands a day or two, maybe yesterday or the day before, and then he came back, and, oh, it's gorgeous, and how much does it weigh, and all this, and, yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Diane.
I would like him to win, but if they're playing on the game, the person, I like that Rick guy.
Rick,
you know,
Rick
the,
Evans.
The glasses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I like him, too.
Diane, do you know, will you be invited to Joe and Sierra's wedding when they announce a date?
I don't know. Maybe. You know, I know back in February something said, come down in February for something. I forget what it was. And I didn't go. But I don't like to fly anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I like the train. You know, taking the train. I like that mode better. But, that would be great. I'll probably make him
something. T-Bird, you're going to offend her. She loves to fly.
Sorry. Yeah, forgot about that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You don't want to be a passenger.
That's all right. That's all
sorry,
right.
Miss T.
That's right. That's no, hey, no
yeah,
problem.
Not a passenger.
I got
oh, that was awesome last night. Oh, my God. That was great.
So, Lady Di, we're pulling for the same person. I'm pulling for Rick as well. He lives about 30, 45 minutes down the road here in where I live in Georgia.
Oh, really?
Cool?
Oh, Walking Dead filmed in Georgia. Oh, my God. Oh.
Why, are you a big Walking Dead fan, Diane?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, yeah. Daryl's my man. He is my man.
Daryl Dixon.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I actually have a t-shirt on right here.
You're wearing a Walking Dead t-shirt right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I have to look down. It says, I have a Daryl a Dixon, and then it's got angel wings on the back.
Okay.
Yeah, my man.
Okay.
All right.
Diane, if people want to check out your art, is it anywhere online where people can go look at it?
Well, I did actually post something on Twitter yesterday.
Okay.
And it's at, let's see, it's the at sign or whatever that is. And Ogden, O-G-D-E-N, Diane.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
And so it's like that. And Facebook.
All right.
You know.
So check it out there. I'm looking at the hands right now. They're like a zebra print.
Yeah. So that,
isn't it beautiful?
Actually, it's supposed to be a like a fingerprint of a child that died.
Oh no!
The people that sponsored me. I mean, you can kind of see it, but yeah, my art kind of tends towards the Africa influence.
Mm-hmm.
And but on the back, I'll have to put the back up because that's pretty cool too. But it's kind of along the same lines, except the fingers are all white.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's different, but it's cool. But yeah, I got a lot of people like it, I guess. So good,
beautiful, that's good, fantastic.
So, you know, be auctioned off, you know, for a fundraiser for Campus Life in October, I believe, and that'll be cool. I get a third of that auction price, so I hope it goes high, so they get two-thirds. So.
Okay.
So y'all could, you could look at Lady Di's Twitter. You can see the artwork. And like she said, they're going to be auctioning it off in the fall. And it's absolutely beautiful. When you see it, you'll know what we're talking about. So.
Okay. All right. Diane, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us today.
Well, awesome. I haven't heard from you forever, Rob.
I know. I'm
Omaha
you,
was the last
yes,
time.
Yeah, I was going to say that all those years ago, but I remember.
Yeah, we had a burger somewhere, and my hair was really short. So
yeah, it was right after I played my season.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was like the summer after.
Yes. Yeah. Back in the day when the fundraisers were, they were awesome back then. I mean, they're awesome now too.
Yes.
Today. You know,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, those were the early days when we didn't know what we were doing, you know,
Not that we know now.
Hey, Lady Di, do you know that help correct me on this if I get it wrong, Rob. Do you know that Rob, Jeff Probst has said about Rob that he's the smartest player to never have won. Did I say it right, Rob?
Smartest player who never won. But he said that a long time ago, so I think that the.
Oh yeah, well
I know, but
you were always very good at that. I loved your narrative back then.
Oh well, thank you very much. Like, I appreciate it.
You know, need to keep that guy around, and it's not win. You know,
mm-hmm.
but yeah. So
Rob, you might want to think about continuing to do some podcasts and talk to some people. Have you thought about that?
I'm thinking about it. I'm going to consider it.
Yeah, there's quite a few
think it could work out
characters
for you.
Out there, I'm sure. You know?
Yeah.
Well,
you might be
know.
Pretty good at
we
it, Rob. You should
that.
Give it a shot.
All right. Well, Diane, thank you so much. This was so nice to get to catch up a little bit.
Yes, yes. And thank you for asking me, Miss T. You know, it's...
Yes.
You know, I see you guys on my, well, our season's on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
I have a giant picture. My son's already claimed it after I die. I'm like, I had to write that on the back.
Oh, my.
So, and I told him he can't sell it, you know. So. Yeah, crazy kids, you know. Well, you guys have
kids
a great
today.
Day.
All right. Thank you, Diane. All right, take care.
You're
thank you,
welcome.
Lady Di.
Bye.
Thank you, Lady Di. Love you.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye, Lady Di.
Love you too, darling.
Bye.
All right.
There you go, T-Bird. You did it.
What's that? Hey, Rob, is it time? Is it time? Okay.
Yeah, so good job. That's T-Bird's bell. There you go. T-Bird, your kids aren't asking you for any of your memorabilia when you pass, right?
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me right now? No, they're not.
Okay, good.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, this is so funny. They didn't even, I'm not sure they even watched my season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of funny. I think they know what happened, but other than that, no.
Okay.
No. So
T-Bird, let me ask you this question from Jenny Autumn. There are pilots and there are passengers, but the flight attendants have a level of control and act as the connectors between the pilots and the passengers. Who do you think are the flight attendants of this season? P.S. I love you, T-Bird.
Oh, God, Jenny. Okay, Jenny, that is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful question. All right. I would say the flight attendants are going to be... Okay, so my first one to say, and I'm looking at my list here. Now, I'm going to say Julie. So, Jenny, I'm going to say Julie. Now, let me clarify.
Okay.
I know Julie got a little upset, and we saw her have a weak moment. But she's going to come back. But before she had the weak moment, I definitely see Julie as a flight attendant and pulling people together, because she looks like she's really gotten along with everybody, mm-hmm. kind of pulling people together. And again, until she had that weak moment, Julie. Aubrey, definitely 1,000,000,000% flight attendant. When they show her over there at the jury, do you see how she's got all her arms are wrapped? She's in the center. She's got everybody wrapped around her. She looks like she's kind of pulling that group up, and she's energy for that group. Aubrey, definitely a flight attendant. Let's see. I'm going to just say right now, Julie and Aubrey.
Okay.
I hope I hadn't. I'm just looking.
All right.
That's what I'm saying for now.
Ryan Patterson wants to know, T-Bird, did you have any pregame alliances with Joe or Kelly? Let me talk to Ryan right now. How many times do we have to go over this, Ryan? T-Bird did not have pregame alliances.
Okay, Ryan, forget Rob what he's talking about right now. So I think I mentioned this. I did not talk with Kelly and Joe at all. Matter of fact, I've never talked to Kelly or Joe ever.
Ever?
Ever. I mean, no, I've never even, you know, second chances, we were totally kept from talking or looking at each other. I've not voice to voice. Okay. Now, we send each other messages, but I have never face-to-face, voice-to-voice met her like that. We were on second chances together, but we never had a chance to talk at all. So for second chances, remember I said Monica and PG, we had kind of reached out to each other, but I think that was kind of a last thing when all this stuff was going crazy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was all this stuff going on, but anyway, I think pre-alliance things are kind of comical, because you can see how the game is turned upside down.
What
like,
about David Wright? Aubrey, I heard you had an alliance with David Wright before Second Chances.
David Wright wasn't on Second Chances.
Wasn't he up for the vote?
Rob. No, not David Wright. He wasn't on the vote for Second Chances.
Okay.
But you know, the same thing. I've never met David face to face, voice to voice, but we message, private message. I like him a lot.
You private message with David Wright?
I love Kelly Wentworth. Love David. Yes, 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 yes.
What about
not
art?
On a daily basis, but just not about my art. Just, you know, from the beginning, good luck, pulling for it. I mean, just like messages like that, mm-hmm. nothing, anything, you know. And then, like I said, I may have mentioned that Rick Devins lives down the road, and I have a really good feeling about him. But of course, he wouldn't have said anything about anything other than thanks a lot. Thanks for the well wishes. But no, yes. What made you think David Wright? What's happening to you? Do you need to take a break? What made you think David Wright was on the Second Chances vote?
Who am I thinking of?
I'm worried about you right now.
Who am I thinking of then?
Don't make me have to take this podcast over, because I will.
Okay. All right. Then,
I don't know who you were thinking of.
Kristen Cole wants to know, can we talk about the extended Edge of Extinction scene with Eric? That felt suspiciously long. Why did we need that in the story? What did you think about that, T-Bird?
Oh, God. Kristen. Awesome question. I was listening to this because, you know, I watched the show more than once, twice, mm-hmm. three times, because I wanted to be ready for Rob. Kristen, for some reason, when I saw that, a part of me thought, I wonder if he wins only because of that long, should I quit? Should I pull the sail? What should I do? I got to stay here for my kids. Kristen, 1,000 million trillion percent. I thought the same exact thing. Why are they showing this so long? And then I thought, I wonder if he goes on and comes back in and wins. Would that be crazy or what? Yeah, Kristen, great question. Fantastic. What do you think, Rob?
I thought we're like, it looks like Eric is going to quit. I thought Eric was about to raise that mast.
That's the point. He didn't.
I know, but who was the last person that was really going to debate raising the mast and thought about it for a long time?
And he did.
Yeah. And when he ultimately raised the mast.
You wouldn't expect. The thing about it is, I never expected Eric for it to even be a thought.
Yeah.
Not even to be a thought. And when it was a thought, and then it was more than a thought, and they kept going on with the thoughts, I thought, whoa, that's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, so that I'm serious. I really thought that. I wonder if he goes and wins. Now, of course, I mean, I don't know. That's a great question. Well, why would they stay on that so long? I mean, they did stay on that a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he was saying that, you know, he was saying they went from a million. He went from a million to zero.
Yeah.
And talking about how many times, you know, he has to stay away from pulling the sale. And he wants to see how much grit he's really got left in him, and just over and over. And I thought, okay.
Let me give a hack for anybody, any future players that are going to be on an Extinction Island season. Okay. This is how you get more. This is called the airtime hack for the Edge of Extinction. What you do is go sit right under the mast and talk about how it's getting real hard. I think I'm going to pull the mast today. I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to pull that mast. And then that's how you get in. Like Chris Underwood, you forgot he was on the show for 3 weeks.
I know. Exactly. That's what you do. You sit under the mask and you just keep talking to the mask.
Yeah.
It's like Castaway.
Yes.
When he keeps talking to Wilson. So we're going to, matter of fact, that's probably what we're going to see. We're going to see Eric. He's going to be talking to the sale every week about what should he go back in, should he not? And then he's going to go back in and win.
Mm.
What? What a story. I don't know. But my winner pick is still Devins. Rick Devins.
Okay.
Because he's a...
T-Bird.
That's who I think. Okay.
Jessica Sterling wants to know, what's the best move for Julie and Ron moving forward? Seems that either way, they're on the bottom of an alliance. They're still in the game, though. They should be happy about that. But where does this go from here? Like, if you're Julie and Ron, what do you do now?
Okay. I think what I would do... Okay, you got Rick and you got David. I think I would probably gravitate over to Kelly, the Lesu, Kelly, the three Lesu, Kelly, Lauren, and Wardog, because you figure they're kind of sort on the bottom, but everybody's still going to be trying to go after probably, unfortunately, Kelly and David, even though he's kind of outside of Lesu, and then just kind of hope to win immunity or hope things will, you know, you can restructure things again because it's going to change up again. I mean, it's going to. So I probably grab onto Wardog and Lauren, bless her heart. I keep worrying about her, you know, as far as not getting enough nutrition and when she passed out during the immunity challenge. And by the way, even as she passed out, even as she was laying there on the ground, she looked like a princess. She is stunning. I could imagine if I'd have passed out how that would have looked. But I kept looking at her thinking, oh, my God, she's beautiful. But anyway, Jessica, that's what I would do. I would hop on with the Lesu three, Wardog, Kelly, and Lauren.
Yeah, I think
100%
where this is going to go, T-Bird. I think that we're going to see this big group of people, this block that voted to that came together in sort of like this big tribal council with the Lesu five and Julie and Ron. I think they're going to vote together for a couple of rounds. And I wouldn't be surprised if Gavin and Aurora get knocked out next.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that would make the most sense. And that's what, of course, hindsight, 100% we know now. That's what the Kama tribe should have done. They should have stayed strong for the next couple of votes because, you know, that family visit's coming up.
Yeah.
We had mentioned that family visit. Mm-hmm. I don't care about that $1 million. I want that family visit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, yeah, I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
I think you're right about that.
T-Bird.
Good question, Jessica.
Shanna James wants to know, can we talk about the War Dog? I've done a complete 180 on him recently, and I really do think he's one of the top contenders to win. Ever since hearing Josh talk about his execution of his pregame strategy, I'm so impressed by him. T-Bird, we haven't really talked about War Dog.
Yeah, I was really impressed. Shanna, I was really impressed with War Dog last week when he went. I mean, never say die. I mean, he went and tried to mix it up and get things going, which he did do. And I know people talk about his in challenges that he's not 100% at the challenges, which is not a bad thing, War Dog. That's a good thing, because if you come in like an Anglum or, you know, one of those that's going to, or like Chris is going to do, if he were to get back in and you're strong at these challenges, you're going to be a target. So the good thing is, I know you're good at challenges. You're just toning it down. Beautiful strategy. I love it. But yeah, and you see he's got some, and you see how he was, had gone to Rick, trying to pull Rick in to come back in with him, even though, of course, he didn't or didn't want to at the time. You can see those social skills kicking in. So yeah, I feel the same way, Shauna. I think War Dog is doing a great job.
Would you say that you're nuts crazy for War Dog?
Oh, God. Rob, I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at all these players on this cast, and I feel like I've gotten to know them in my living room every Thursday night, Wednesday night. And I love them all. Yes, I love War Dog. I love all these players. Yes.
Is there anyone like that you have a little bit less of a favoritism for?
Oh gosh. Okay. Cause this is me right now. I'm looking at my list and, no, because again, the four returnees I already loved before I loved them, because I just did. And now that they're the underdogs, I especially love them. And then I'm looking at these other, you know, 14, there's 18 players, right? The other 14 players. And now that I've got to know them more than I ever have before, because they're out on Extinction Island, you know, I'm crazy about them as well. So, I guess you could always find something not to like about somebody, but what's the bother in that? So I guess when I watch them and see them, I think of things that I really like. For example, you know, look how Reem has grown on all of us. And I think she, again, is a little bit rough around the edges, but she's turned into somebody that I think we all can admire and like. So, you know, and that's what I love about Edge of Extinction, how we get to see
T-Bird,
these players.
Before the season starts, you always tweet about that now I lay my head down to sleep, and I always pray that there will be no quitters in this season. And this season, we've seen Keith and Big Wendy raise the mast to go out of the game. Are they people that are not as much of your favorites as the people who did not raise the mast?
Okay, so this is how it goes. Dear Survivor gods, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray no quitters this season will make. If I should die before I wake, please less idols for goodness sake. No, you know what? How can you not like Wendy? And how can you not like Keith? I mean, how can you not like them? For example, let me just tell you this. Keith is 19 years old. And Wendy's 25. There are kids. I mean, that's my kids' age. And what they've done, and for them to go out and do what they did, and they did stay on Edge of Extinction for a while. Now, granted, let me just make this point. I would not pull that sail. No way. Unless they'd have to pull me off of there. But with that being said, I can tell you right now, I'm on Edge of Extinction, and I'm looking around, and I'm seeing Chris. I'm looking around and I'm seeing Joe, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, Lordy, I'm not probably pretty much 100% sure not going to be as strong in these challenges. And the shot of me getting back in is probably going to be a little bit more challenging for me than it is these others. I'm still not quitting.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've played before. Now, Keith and Wendy have never played. Whether or not that makes a difference, I really don't think it does. I think it's just never say die attitude that I'm going and I'm going to drop out no matter what. But I don't think you can I can't fault Keith at 19 years old or Wendy at 25 for how far they've come and what they did. So, no, I don't fault them. 1,000,000% do not.
Okay. This is one from Lamuel Pinto. When you played in Survivor Africa, did you ever have that breakdown moment that happened to Julie at Tribal Council? And what advice would you give to future players to avoid having that breakdown moment?
Hey, Lamuel, we're friends on Twitter. So, hey, sweetheart. Lamuel, you're asking me a question, and I'm going to answer it for you. I had a breakdown moment. You know, Africa was a really special season because I got to play on it. It was also important because Survivor and Jeff Probst and the highlighted the AIDS epidemic in Africa and around the world. And my brother had passed away of AIDS back in 1989. So when we did the challenge that Lex won, and he got to take all the AIDS supplies to the children's hospital, while they were showing that shot and the truck pulled up and they were showing the supplies, tears were pouring, pouring down my face. So again, it wasn't for, you know, because I knew I was on the bottom. It wasn't because I was hungry or thirsty, just the emotions of being out there and being touched by that and knowing what my brother had gone through. And that was a very, very emotional moment for me.
And that wasn't included in the show, right?
I think they did show, you know, Lex won the truck. It was back when Lex won the truck, but in the truck were all the supplies that were going to the hospital, the AIDS hospital with the children. I don't really remember, believe it or not, I have not gone back to watch my season. I just remember standing in the background and nobody knew my story, the story of about my brother Steve. And so it was just a really, really emotional moment. And of course, you can see it still is now.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the only time that I remember getting really, really emotional. And what would I tell other people? You know, if you have to, like Rob, like we talked about earlier, like what you do now, Rob, is you go off on your own and you cry. Do what you need to do, but try to stay where you look like you're, I want to use the word stable, because you want to, you know, like David Wright did to Julie when they were at the well, he was comforting her and he said to her, you can make it, which was a very endearing moment again, because here's David who's been targeted, a returnee player being targeted, and he was giving Julie these uplifting words. So I would say just try your best to keep it together. And when you feel like you're going to have an emotional moment, kind of go off and just pull yourself together and come back in.
Well, T-Bird.
Ma'am, well, thank you for that question.
And T-Bird, thank you for sharing that with us. You know, I'm very sorry to hear that story. I had no idea. And I think it's such an amazing testament that you're such a positive person to have that kind of tragedy in your past.
Well, I think things kind of come full circle. You know, as a flight attendant, I've been able to fly like lots of places because that's my job. But I had never been to Africa and I'd always wanted to go, and to be able to play Survivor in Africa and after the show, being able to give so much back to the AIDS different AIDS foundations has been a godsend. And, you know, back in the day, I know they still do it. You know, all of our torches and all the Survivor paraphernalia was auctioned off. And what at the time was ours, all the money that was raised from the auction of all of our torches and everything else went to the Elizabeth Glazer Pediatric AIDS Foundation. So again, I believe everything happens for a reason. So for me to be cast on that and be able to give back to the Elizabeth Glazer AIDS Foundation and then the Elizabeth Taylor Foundation through the years has been a blessing. And it's helped me as far as what I can do for Stevie and keeping Steve's memory alive. So, yeah, thank you for asking that, Rob and Lamuel. Thank you so much, sweetheart, for asking that.
Okay. All right. T-Bird, let me ask you this question from John, who says, these players are placing a tremendous priority on strategy and making big moves. It seems like that this is coming at the expense of a strong social game. Given your friendly and vibrant personality, do you think any of these players can win in the absence of a strong social game? Can a player like Joe or Aubrey swoop in at the end with better emotional connections to the jurors and grab up the votes at tribal council? Are you seeing anybody playing a great social game, T-Bird?
Gosh. All right. Aubrey, 1,000 million trillion percent. Again, I've mentioned already in the podcast how she's bonded with that group over there, the jury. And if the jury's voting and the jury's been in on watching all this drama play out, that's going to affect their vote. And the people in the jury are on edge extinction. They know how rough it is. So if Aubrey were to get back in the game, and I really think her social game would pull her in. And again, I do reference David Wright. David Wright, I meant Rick Devens as well. I think Rick has had some powerful emotional moments, but they have made sense for the gameplay and how he was voted out, put back in. So I think the jury also that have been on edge of extinction, if it's not Aubrey that gets back in, I think those votes would go to Rick because they know what Rick's been through to get back out there. And then they've watched him try to survive again through these juries, which is probably a reason why I've got Rick so high on my list. Oh, that's right. Not so high. He's number one on my list.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. T-Bird, John Tinkham wants to know, can you please bring back Worm Wednesday?
John, I can't do that because let me tell you what happened. I posted that picture and I got real personal with this because a girl said, if you ever post anything like that again, I'm going to disconnect you. What am I? She's going to not just swipe left, swipe right.
You.
She's going to turn me off.
Yeah.
She's going to block me. And I thought, that worm picture obviously upset her. I didn't want to do that. I didn't hurt the worm. So, John, probably it's not going to happen because I kind of promised it. Mm-hmm. Promise is a promise is a promise.
But what if you find out that your true fans want Worm Wednesday to come back? Isn't it better
to
appeal to the true T-Bird fans and sort of just weed out the people who are just sort of the casual T-Bird fans?
All right, so Rob, you're asking me that. So I guess I try to, be diplomatic about it. So mm-hmm. John, what I would probably do is I live on a farm. I love to fish. I use worms because there are worms. Oh, this probably ain't going to go over well. I'd probably have a worm bed and I would show my worm bed and that'd be my way
what's
of
a worm
the worms
bed?
In for Worm Wednesday. A worm bed? You don't know what a worm bed
no.
is?
It's like a bed full of worms.
Okay. It's like, that's what it is. You make a worm bed and you put so much stuff. You Google it and it tells you how to make
a
worm
will
bed.
Not.
So you got to do like a dark. Yeah, do it.
Way.
The worm bed, do it.
Never.
So then you've got your own worms when you're going to go fishing. Because when people go fishing now, what do? They run by the bait store, they get some worms. But down by the lake on the farm, there's ways to have a worm bed and you just fill it up with all kind of stuff and then you have your own worms. So I would probably get by with have a worm bed for my fans that want to be, see Worm Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
You've never heard of a worm bed? You're not from
no.
the country, are you?
No.
Okay.
I'm not.
Okay. Well, a worm bed.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Maybe you could take a picture of the worm bed.
That's what I mean. That's kind of how I'd probably throw it in.
Okay. T-Bird, Edward Morris wants to know, T-Bird, who's complaining about you on Twitter now? Besides the worm girl.
Well, I hadn't heard back from her in a while, so I hope things are going good.
You don't have any haters on Twitter, right?
Let me think. Well, I'm a little annoying, Rob.
No.
I get it. No, yeah. No, I am. And I get it. And my kids, I know. I know it. So, and it's like I know that if somebody, two of my friends that I met, Josh and Dan, that I met because they said I turned it on for 30 seconds. I couldn't listen to her voice anymore. I couldn't take it. I get it. I do. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know it's true, but I understand it. So that's why I think, and it's the same way in the game, and I think it's true with anything. All these players, when you said, of all these 18 players, who do you have something negative to say about? You can find something negative to say about anybody at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime. Or you can choose to go the other way and find that one thing or those two or three or however many things that make you really respect and love and think this person is really cool. And I've always, for whatever reason, try to do that. So anyway, I know. I think we just lost a few on that one, didn't we, Rob?
No. That people are jumping ahead to this part.
Okay, good.
Skip to this part. Okay. Then Lawson Campbell wants to know, who's living rent-free in T-Bird's head? Anybody?
Who's living rent-free? All right, so say that again. Who's this from?
Lawson wants to know, is anybody living rent-free in your head?
Lawson, you are right down. Because I'm trying to figure out what exactly that means.
I don't really know what it means either.
So who's living rent? I mean, I guess that means who are you thinking about?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that mean who you're thinking about? Does that pertain to the game? Does that pertain to the game?
Or just?
Well, Lawson, I'm a mom, so of course my kids always live rent free in my head,
and sometimes in your house.
And yeah, and there you have that too.
Mm-hmm.
So. But I don't think that's, I'm thinking that's not what he means. So I'm trying to come up with something a little bit better for Lawson on that one.
Okay. All right. Let's not get too hung up on it. Okay. This is from Pleasant Man on Twitter. Does T-Bird think this season is going to end in a vet winning or will somebody else win? What do you think? New player or a vet wins?
All right. New player. All right. Who's this from?
This is from Pleasant Man on Twitter. Pleasant Man.
Hey, Pleasant Man. Oh, God, Pleasant Man. I'm going to have to say, I think it's going to be a new player. Oh, did I mention? I think it might be Rick Devens.
Okay, you think Rick Devens.
I think it's going to be. Yeah, I think it's going to be a new player. Let me think, because let's see. I'm not sure Joe's coming out with that. He's very likable. He makes no enemies. Everybody loves Joe, but I don't know that he has this. I mean, look at how he is, and it's just a different personalities compared to Aubrey. And I feel the same way about David Wright and with Kelly Wentworth. You know, even though they're threats, you know, you've got to have that social game also that goes with it. And I think I'm still going, okay, Pleasant Man on Twitter, I'm going with new player.
New player. Okay. There you go. All right. Then.
What do you think, Rob? Who's your pick, Rob?
I said I'll take the returning players still.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who?
I don't know.
Who's your returning player?
I was in a draft. I feel like that Rick Devens had a strong night coming back last night. But I feel like, you know, David and Kelly are still out there.
So you don't think a returnee, you don't think Aubrey or Joe on Edge Extinction will come back and
Joe's
win.
Been my winner pick all along. That I still think that Joe's going to come back into the game, and there's a good chance he could win.
Okay.
Yeah.
And get the vote. Just because he, okay.
It could still happen. But this season is a very hard one to prognosticate.
Okay. So you're saying Kelly and David are still in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe's your winner pick.
Joe has been my winner pick from the start of the season. Yes.
Okay. All right. So I like that you've stayed strong with that one. And mine's been beat up a little bit, but I've still stayed with Rick. So it's going to be interesting to see
your winner pick where we go with this game too.
Well, I know he's really been beat up, but he got mine's back in though.
All right,
mine's back in. Yours isn't.
Chance to get back in yet.
Yours is over there sitting under the sail, looking at it, trying to get some screen time.
If he had a chance to get back in, he'd be back in already. He's waiting for the bus on Extinction Island.
Oh, that's right. He hadn't had a chance yet. Not only that, he can't get near the sail because Eric's sitting under it. Getting his screen time.
Yeah.
Blocking it. Nobody can pull it up because he won't let him get near it.
Yes. Okay. T-Bird, let me see. What else? What did you see? See any questions on Twitter from the listeners that you want to make sure that we answer?
Oh, I didn't. Let's see.
People want to know, how do you feel about the Amazing Race coming up? Who's your winner pick for the Amazing Race?
Oh, yeah.
Spicy Wasabi.
God. Okay. I haven't looked. Oh, God. I hadn't looked at it, but I tell you who I'm excited about seeing is
Art and JJ.
Who?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Who? Tell me who.
I hadn't looked at it's been a crazy. I like Corinne. Corinne and I can see her face. Why
Eliza.
Can't I think of her name? You know, Liza. Because they're so crazy in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So I like them. Rupert and his wife, of course, seeing how people, you know, react to Rupert around the world, because everybody knows him around the world. It's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. But I think Corinne and Liza are just going to be plain good entertainment value.
What about like Brett and Chris? Do you know those guys?
Yeah, I know Brett and Chris. Yeah, I'd be pulling for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know I'm going to be pulling for the Survivor players. It just feels right. Yes. It just feels like the right thing to do.
T-Bird, who would be your Amazing Race partner from Survivor?
Okay, so from my season, are you talking about from Survivor Africa? That's a no-brainer.
From anything. I mean, Eliza and Corinne aren't from the same season.
Okay, well, if I did it from my season, it would 100,000,000,000% have to be Lex. Okay. 100%. Just because we have such a bond, we had the little thing going on when we played together, and he's extremely intelligent, and I have no sense of direction. So, you know.
Okay, so Lex and T-Bird.
That would be Lex. If I had played on Second Chances and had a whole new group to get familiar with, it might be different, but, you know, but now I'm going to go and be Lex.
Who would it be, David Wright?
Oh, wait. No, he wasn't on Second Chances.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I said, something's going on with this David Wright thing on Second Chances. I'm going to have to dig a little deeper and figure this out.
Would it be Rick Devins?
Yes, it'd be Rick Devins. Well, he wasn't on Second Chances either, but if I had played.
He doesn't have to be from Second Chances.
Okay, then it'd either be Rick Devins or hold on. It's going to be Davey.
Oh, Davey Rickenbacker.
Yeah, it's going to be Davey Rickenbacker for 100% sure.
Yeah.
Also.
I want to hear Davey Diane Ogden talk about The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, that's. Yeah, that would be.
Why, Davey is tight. You're tight with Davey?
Well, I've been to, Davey came down to Rick's premiere.
Where is Davey?
That was the first time that I met him face to face. And he is, talk about a likable person. And he, social game, you know how he got as far as he did. And then when I got to see him again last week when we did when I got to meet all your patrons, if I didn't mention that. So, and listen, and Davey is so, the way he is with the fans, he's so endearing and takes time with all of them. He's a great, great guy. So I'd either do it with Lex. Lex wasn't available. I'd do it with Davey and or Rick.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the three. Those are my three.
All right, T-Bird, anything else you want to say on The Edge of Extinction? The season, the island, the social media.
I guess in a nutshell, because I know a lot of people have, a friend of mine on Twitter was saying she doesn't like Edge of Extinction. Once they're out, they should be out and it's over with. But again, I've enjoyed being able to get to know all the characters, and if they come back in and win, good for them. So I like it. I actually don't have anything negative to say about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How do you feel
T-Bird.
About it? How do you feel about it?
The season, I mean, I think that the season has been underrated. I feel like that I hear people are down on it, but I feel like that we've had some exciting episodes really for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's coming back. It's gaining steam. But you know what the problem is it came off of this last season. And the last season was so good. The characters were all fantastic. Every one of them. Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. So when you come off a season like that, I remember thinking when that one was over, I'm like, I hate to see how they're going to pull off another season like, you know, as good as that one was. But I think The Edge of Extinction was a good time to introduce it coming off of that season.
Okay. T-Bird, of course, we did a little Tuesdays with T-Bird today that you and I are working on talking to more and more Survivor players. That T-Bird, can I talk about the assignment that you gave me?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So when we first started talking about Tuesdays with T-Bird, what are we going to do? We were going back and forth about, I was like, all right, well, T-Bird, who do you know? And then T-Bird said, well, who do you want? I said, well, who do you know? And she said, well, who do you want? And we went back and forth. And so T-Bird said, hey, I want a challenge. And so T-Bird said, write down for me a list of 10 people that you want me to track down. I love a challenge. T-Bird's like a private investigator.
Right.
And T-Bird is working on her list of, I gave her a list of names of people that I want to talk to. And so T-Bird is working on that list. And so as T-Bird tracks them down, we hope to bring you more and more Tuesday with T-Bird interviews.
Yeah, so to the listeners, if there's anybody you haven't heard or haven't heard in a long time that are kind of out of the picture, I'm the girl. I'm on it. So get us the name. Get the name to Rob. Get Rob. We'll add him to the list, and we're gonna get him.
Okay.
We're going to get them, right, Rob?
Yes. And Diane was not on my top 10 list. If I had a top 15, she would have been in the top 15. But that does not count as officially one name checked off. But we might be crossing off a name soon.
Yes. And the thing about Lady Di that was so great, we just figured Lady Di is perfect since she was the very first boot in Africa. How would people, you know, to have her view because of the way this season is, we thought we had to have her. So it was perfect.
I thought maybe she might be mad because and say, hey, how come that I wasn't on the show the whole time like Reem?
Well, she didn't seem to be. I guess after 18, 19 years, she's had time to settle down a little bit.
She's saying feisty. Go Reem. Yeah.
She was saying go Reem. But I'm telling you, they have a lot in common where the more you're with them, the more you get to know them, you love them. Because because I got a feeling Reem's the same way. Diane's got a heart of gold. She'll do anything for anybody. Lots of volunteer stuff with her artwork. And she's a remarkable girl.
Okay. All right. So T-Bird, of course, is on Twitter. You can follow, what is it, at T-Bird Cooper. T-Bird, I'm disappointed you didn't talk as much about your followers today.
Well, because I know I get carried away with them, and I know. Remember last time I started, I had stories about a couple of them, and you said, okay, we got to move on along here now.
But it was so funny. You know. You talked to me about what everybody was saying on Twitter. And I was so confused, but I think back fondly.
Yes.
Yes.
But today I think we got to talk about worm beds. I think that's, you know, kind of been a good distraction.
Yes. Yes. Okay. You had all of the great one-liners. I feel like you didn't really do a lot of tweeting about the episode last night because you were going to come on with me. You didn't want to waste everything that you were going to say.
No, I can't multitask. So I was trying to watch it, knowing I had to make sense as much as I can make sense of it. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to tweet and I was trying to watch it. But then the last 30 minutes was tribal council. I couldn't tweet about that because I couldn't figure out what was happening. I'm like, okay, I don't even know what's happening. I'm going to have to watch this a few times. And I was watching it down at my mom's with my mom and my husband and some other people. So a lot was happening.
Okay.
There was a lot happening.
All right, T-Bird. Well, job well done once again.
Thanks, Rob.
And you know my favorites to talk to.
I love talking to you. I really enjoy it.
And we're going to have a lot of fun when we call up other survivors.
Yes. Okay. Look forward to that, too.
All right. T-Bird, anything else you want to tell people to check out?
Instagram. I did a little video on my Instagram right before we were doing our talk.
Oh, you did?
I'm on Instagram. I was out there trying to get.
What did you do, a picture or a video?
I did a little video because I was trying to finish my workout and get energized. So I was trying to think about what happened. And so I did that right before I literally ran in here.
All right. So is this Let me see. Let me look at. Okay, so T-Bird Cooper. Okay. Am I looking at? Am I? Is this? Let me see what this is. What this is from? Okay, so
it's just T Bird Cooper.
Okay, this is you on the treadmill.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Let me see if I can start from the beginning. Okay. All right. Hold on. Tiber, this is looks dangerous. How you're doing this?
What? Oh my God, it was because I did a take before that, and I was because you gotta hold the phone, and then I learned that you gotta hold the phone and you gotta hold the button the whole time. So I almost wiped out because I'm trying to run, and then I realized, Rob, seriously, I looked at the clock and it was about 10 till when we were supposed to hook up, and so then I got. Yeah, it is. So be careful.
Be careful. Be careful, T-Bird.
Don't try this at home.
Okay. All right. T-Bird, well, this was so nice to get to catch up. We have our feedback show coming up with Eric Stein from Big Brother and the Winter of Stein and the Summer of Stein. We're going to take your feedback questions on that show. Then the great Kurt Clark will join us on This Week in Survivor. And then we'll do it all again with Josh Wiggler on this week's Wiggle Room before Stephen Fishback and I are going to be live with a cast of thousands in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for our next live event, T-Bird.
All right. Sounds like a lot of fun. Give Josh and Stephen a big hug for me. I don't know the summer of Eric, the seasons of Eric Stein, but I look forward to meeting him too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, T-Bird, so nice to get to catch up. I hope that you had fun.
I did. I had a great time. Bad idea about the popcorn for any listener that went and got popcorn. I hope they're doing okay and not choked out right now. Bad suggestion.
Are you okay?
I'm fine, but so be careful with the popcorn when you're doing a podcast and be careful of running on the treadmill and trying to videotape it yourself. Two things to learn from today.
People can get mad at me about my takes about food, but I'm anti snacking and eating on podcasts also for the most part. Yeah, I feel like people don't like it.
But in honor of Joe Anglum, I had to have the popcorn here. It just fit.
Yes. All right. Of course, thank you so much to the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. Even if you don't want to be a patron for more than you pay for Netflix, that we still appreciate your support over at robhasawebsite.com/patron, access to our patron only podcast feed and everything else going on in our Rob as a Podcast patron community at robhasawebsite.com/patron. T-Bird, what else were you going to say?
I was going to say love to Nicole, Dominic and Anthony, and I love the story. Was it Dominic that you had to drive to school the other day when we were trying to talk because he had stayed home, and then all of a sudden he wanted to play video games.
So you were trying to get a hold of me, and Dominic woke up first thing in the morning, and he was like, "I think I'm going to throw up. I can't go to school today." I said, "Okay, fine." And then I was like, "Dad, can we go to a trampoline park? Dad, can I go play video games? Can I do?" And he was in school by 9 o'clock. We sorted through this one real quick.
You marched Dominic right on to the schoolhouse.
Yeah, listen, this is not Ferris Bueller's day off. You're going to school, buddy.
I wonder who he learned that from.
I don't
know. You or Nicole, because I'm thinking might be Dad. I don't know. Hard to say.
All right.
Hey, apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah. All right, thank you, everybody, for listening. Take care. Have a good one. Bye. Special thanks to our friends over at TrueCar for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. Well, you can't put a price tag on your stories now with TrueCar. You can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details just pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof. Watch as they're going to bump up your car's value. High mileage. You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas.